The Hardest Commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. It's a simple sentence, easy to read because there are no hard names of people or places, easy to memorize and repeat on demand. It's even rather pretty. We've seen it on posters, bumper stickers, bookmarks, and many other things. This is a verse that's almost as popular as John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. This commandment, however, to love one another as I have loved you, is one of the hardest commandments to live by. It's one thing to say you love another. It's quite another to express it in such a way that that person believes it. I read a book once called The Five Languages of Love by Gary Chapman. According to Chapman, there are five specific ways to show someone you love them. Number one, you can touch them, as in giving a hug. Number two, you can tell them, as in saying, I love you, or I think you're great. Number three, you can give them gifts, anything from a wildflower to a Mercedes-Benz. Number four, you can spend time with them, like hiking a trail or simply visiting. Or number five, you can do things for them, such as washing the dishes or running an errand. I admit, I'm oversimplifying Chapman's ideas, but I think you understand that for each of these five ways of showing love, there are 100 little things you can do or say. The most interesting thing I discovered in this book wasn't all the little things that one could do or say. It was that each person understands love in a very different way. You see, each of us has what Chapman calls a primary and secondary love language, and some even have a third love language. That means that one of these five ways of showing love speaks best to you, while the others mean very little in comparison. For instance, my primary love language is touching, and my secondary love language is quality time, spending time being with the person I care about no matter what we do. My husband's primary love language, on the other hand, is gifts. He also happens to have a second and third love language, which are quality time and service. Having more than one way to express and understand love does make it a little easier to do so. Because my husband's other love languages include not only my secondary love language, but also one of my spiritual gifts, it's not so difficult to demonstrate my love for him on a day-to-day basis. We both show love through quality time, so we can continually show our love each day in that way. But if neither of us made the effort to speak in the other's primary love language, touching for me and gifts for him, then no matter how much time we spend together, we would begin to wonder if the other really loves us. Speaking in the other's primary love language takes effort. If you're not comfortable with touching others, then demonstrating you love someone whose primary love language is touching can be difficult. The great thing is, if that other person knows you're uncomfortable with such displays of affection, and you still make the effort to show them you love them in a way they understand best, then the effect is so much more powerful. Think for a moment when someone showed you they loved you in such a way that you knew that it had to have been difficult for them. Didn't that make a big impact on you? Let me give you a personal example of what I mean. As I said before, touching is how I understand love best. My husband, however, isn't always comfortable with that. I understand that, and I accept it. When he holds my hand in a store, or gives me a quick hug in a public area, that means the world to me, and it's all because I know he's making an effort to go beyond his comfort zone to show me he truly loves me. Going beyond your comfort zone to show someone you love them is really what makes this commandment the hardest commandment. One of the hardest things for me to do is to say, I love you. It's not so hard to tell my husband that, but to say, I love you to anyone else is probably one of the most difficult things I can think of. It's not that I don't love others. It's just that showing it in that particular way makes me feel vulnerable. There's a group that's harder to show love to than anyone I know of, and that's anyone outside our circle of family and friends. Being kind to a stranger isn't always that difficult. Of the five love languages, for strangers, it's usually easiest and best to show our Christian love of them through some type of service, opening a door for them, or picking something up that they've dropped. Another easy way is through a kind word, saying please and thank you, or complimenting them. There are hundreds of ways to show our Christian love through service, and as many ways to say it. Sometimes, though, even that can be difficult. It may be that we would be more than happy to lend a helping hand, but just aren't aware that the one is needed. Take, for example, a friend of mine. She was in the grocery store, waiting to purchase her items. She wasn't really paying attention to the person in front of her, but she remembers that this person had only a few items, 3 burritos and a small bag of cat food. After ringing the items up, when the person went to pay, both cards were declined. Upset, the person left without the items. This person had no sooner walked out the door when my friend realized that she could have offered to pay for the burritos and cat food. She could have shown that person love, but she hadn't been aware of the need until it was all over and done with. She told me that this incident has stayed with her since it happened, and she plans to stay more vigilant in the future. That's a plan we could probably all make for ourselves. Sometimes, showing strangers that we love them is difficult for another reason altogether. Our heart may be in it, but our fear holds us back. We aren't all as brave as the Good Samaritan. Several years ago, I saw a young woman walking toward the city. It was obvious that she had run out of gas and was going to buy enough to get her car to the station. I could have easily offered her a ride. I had nowhere else I needed to be, and there was plenty of room in my Jeep. The station wasn't more than a mile away, if that. But did I do it? No. Instead, I made excuses for myself, saying things like, I didn't want to scare her, and picking up people is dangerous. While both of those have an element of truth to them, they were, in all reality, just excuses. I had the opportunity to show love to another, and I chose not to. As ashamed as I am of not doing what I should have done, I did pray for her. Loving a stranger through our prayers for them is yet another way to follow Jesus' commandment. Our prayers don't have to be specific or long, just heartfelt. What I prayed for that young woman was that she could make it to the gas station and back safely and be able to purchase enough gas to get her where she needed to go. It was as simple as that, and as heartfelt as any prayer I've ever prayed. We all know that loving friends and family, showing that love in a way that they can understand, is not only important, but can be difficult even in the best of times. We also know the same is true of strangers. But what about those people you find difficult to love regardless? Those people who have hurt us deeply, or are just plain hard to get along with, no matter what you do. That's a question I continue to struggle with. I know that when Jesus said, love one another and love your neighbor, he didn't mean just those I got along with. I know that I'm supposed to love even the most disagreeable person. But how do you do that? How do you show someone that you love them when all you want to do is streak away in the opposite direction and hope they didn't see you? Can even Chapman's love language help us with these people? I wish I could give you a hard and fast answer, but I can't. As I said, I'm still struggling with this myself. I can tell you what I've discovered so far. You can't pretend what you're doing is showing love to that disagreeable person, no matter how nice it might seem, if you're just trying to fulfill some requirement. If you're thinking how much better you are because you're being nice, it's not showing love to that person. That person may or may not notice your heart's not in it, but you and God will. It's one thing to do nice things for everyone and respect everyone, even those who don't or won't respect you, in order to be obedient to God. It's another to do so and let pride get the upper hand. One of my favorite sayings is, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. While that may not show love like I've talked about so far, at least it's not showing hatred. By not running that other person down, even though you may think that person deserves it, you are showing respect for that person's humanity. We are all human, with human failings and shortcomings. It's good for all of us to remember that. There have been people in my life who seem to have the knack of pushing my buttons. There have been people who have said hurtful things to me on purpose. There have been people who, no matter how many times I reminded them, would consistently forget important dates and information, making me feel unimportant. Each time I come into contact with a person like one of these, I try to remember that they're only human. Maybe they've done or said what they'd have because of something else going on in their life. Maybe it's simply a miscommunication. Or maybe it's just a personality clash. The reasons for their behavior could be endless. But my point is, they are as human as I am. I could tell you a number of stories about my own. I'm sure you have your own as well. I won't say that remembering that disagreeable people are human makes showing them love a piece of cake. I wish it did. What it does do is keep me humble enough to, at the very least, show that person some respect. The model we want to live up to is Jesus. Who better to teach us about loving one another, especially about loving those people we would rather see take a long walk off a short pier? Even though others saw worthless prostitutes and thieves, Jesus saw loved ones in need of a helping hand, a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen. Even though the Pharisees and teachers of the law wanted to trap him, Jesus saw loved ones in need of a new teaching and respect. Even though the Jews called for his crucifixion and the Romans carried it out, even though people mocked him, beat him, spit on him, even though everyone deserted him, Jesus saw loved ones in need of forgiveness and mercy. What better person to model our own attitudes and behavior after than the Son of God himself? Jesus is our Savior, but he is also our teacher. He gave us one of the hardest commandments to keep, to love one another as I have loved you. But he did not leave us without an example to follow. God understood that we are only human, and that it is difficult for us to move out of our comfort zone to show our love to others, to keep our unawareness or fear from holding us back, or to get beyond our anger, hurt, disappointment, or whatever else keeps us from showing love to someone. Because God knew all of that, God sent Jesus to show us how to live and obey his commandments. Friends, I'm as human as you are, but I am willing to continue struggling on, trying to love others as Jesus does. I invite you to come. Struggle with me.